I'm joined on the line by Tom Varter, whose new Detective Mayer book, The Man with the Golden Mind, is out now. Tom, you're in Strasbourg, of all places. I thought you'd be in Thailand. You lead a very entertaining life. Why are you in Strasbourg?
Entertaining is the right word, I suppose. I've been in Europe for a few weeks, partly to meet my agent, meet family, do a little bit of networking, and I've also been asked by some old friends from my long, long forgotten past to play a tour with a rock and roll band. So I've been on tour across Europe with the London Dirt Hole Company, and we've been playing dates in Germany, Belgium, and Denmark in the last couple of weeks, and it has been great fun, and they've asked me to come back in August, September to do another tour, so I may well do that.
Well, why go home? I mean, it's very nearly then. You should be hanging around Europe in the lovely European summer.
Yes, but of course, as you know, there's been a coup in Thailand, and I've been covering that a little bit for the Daily Telegraph, and I need to go back and have a look what's happening. It's my home country, and there's dramatic and tragic things unfolding, so I feel I should be close to it and take a look.
It's going to sound terrible, but normal people don't move towards danger. Why is, apart from the Daily Telegraph, what makes you want to go back to where there is the possibility of people shooting at you?
I've lived in Thailand for the last 13 years. I'm a correspondent there. It's my home. I identify with it to a certain degree. My friends are there. So, of course, naturally, I'm worried about what's happening there. And I don't feel that I am personally in danger of going back.
Because there seem to be a lot of coups in Thailand over the last few years. It seems to be a very unstable place, but only by reading the news. Is it unsafe and stable living there, and we're just looking from the outside going, gee, that looks horrible, or is it on the street terrible? Because it's very hard to get a feeling from the papers.
Right. I mean, Thailand's had 18 coups since 1932, so the involvement of the military in civil affairs, despite the fact that the country is ostensibly a democracy, is ongoing because civil society is weak, the institutions are weak, and in the last 10 years there's been a real schism between two different political groups in Thailand. The old feudal monarchist group, they call themselves the Yellow Shirts. They are made up of some of the old business elite, some of the people who live in the south, some of the people with royal connections, and on the other hand you have the rather poorer red shirts who are mostly based in the north and the northeast, and they have chosen a man called Thaksin Shinawat as their representative in the last few elections, and Mr. Shinawat is a modern politician, let's say, not entirely clean, and him and his party have been robbing the country blind, and so every few years it comes to a big fracas between the two parties because the country can't really move forward. Unfortunately, the Yellow Shirts and the Red Shirts, neither of them are particularly compromise-friendly. So the last 6 months have seen massive street demonstrations by the Yellow Shirts, and they are trying to stop democracy as it is now because they know that Thaksin Shinawat will win the next election too. So they're trying to find an alternative of how to get rid of the Shinawat clan, and then restart the engine. How exactly they're going to do that remains to be seen, but obviously it's a flashpoint time at the moment. It's a very interesting time. It's also a very tragic time, and as I said, I'm emotionally connected to the country, and I feel I should be there and witness some of that.
Fair enough. I mean, yes, if you've called a place home long enough, it does tend to be somewhere you actually want to see if anything's going to happen, especially in cases like this. You'd like to see something good come out of it. But speaking of something good coming out of Thailand, I know this is a big segue, but The Man with the Golden Mind has come out, and it's out now through Exhibit A Books, a new Detective Mayer mystery. Now, last time we saw Detective Mayer, he was escaping from crazed ex-Nazis in Cambodia. What's he up to now?
Well, this time we're talking 1 year later, and Detective Mayer is approached by a young woman in Hamburg to help her find the murderer of her father, who was the East German cultural attaché in Laos following the communist revolution in 1975. And Mayer is sent to Laos to uncover who killed this man. But as soon as he gets there, he finds that there's quite another story. In fact, in the 1960s and early 1970s, Laos was at the center of a CIA secret war. In fact, the largest CIA covert operation in history that we know about so far. From 1965 to 1975, the CIA operated a clandestine war in Laos. They didn't really have very many people there. What they did was they trained an army of Montagnards, ethnic minorities, to fight the communists. And this went on for some years. And during this time, the CIA built an airport in Laos called Long Cheng, which became, by the late 1960s, the biggest, not the biggest, but the busiest airport in the world. Although nobody knew about it, the American people didn't know about it, Congress didn't know about it, it worked in complete secrecy and with complete impunity. And they used this airbase in order initially to supply their secret troops across the country, but also to deliver aid to refugees. And in the later years of the war, the airport was also used for drug smuggling in order to finance part of the war, and also for doing bombing runs on the country. Laos is one of the most heavily bombed countries in the world, and while the big bombers took off from Thailand and from other places, some of the bombing was also done from inside Laos. In the end, of course, the Americans lost the war, both in neighboring Vietnam and in Laos, and had to abandon Laos, and Laos has since been communist. So that's the backdrop, that's the historical backdrop of my novel, and Detective Mayer goes deeper into the country and closer towards Long Cheng, the secret airport, he uncovers ugly truths about the war, but he also uncovers ugly truths about himself, because what he finds out is that the reason why his client has sent him there in the first place, and why the CIA and the Vietnamese Secret Service and the Laotian police are all after him, is because everybody is searching for a secret file, a file from the secret war, which lists all the double agents that were used by the Vietnamese and the Americans during that time. And this file was produced by a double agent called Weltmeister. And this man was the U.S.'s most secret and most efficient assassin who worked in Laos at the time. And he's disappeared for a quarter century. And Mayer soon realizes that this man may well be around still. And eventually he tracks him down.
I really enjoyed this book because it was, well, much like Cambodian Book of the Dead, it felt partly that it was real, and it also felt beautifully researched and written. Did you actually get a chance to go to Laos and have a look around, or is it just all drawn from other sources?
No, the historical background of the book is actually based on a film I wrote with my brother between 2003 and 2008. The film is called The Most Secret Place on Earth. It's a feature documentary about the secret war in Laos, and it unravels this part of secret history. That's basically what I used as the backdrop for the novel.
Was it hard to write this? Because there are parts of this book where I'm thinking, ooh, nasty. This must be dredging up some really horrible things for people. Are people saying to you, this is hard reading?
I think that it was much easier to write than the first one, but that's primarily because I've progressed as a writer and have become much more assured in my craft. I found the structuring of the second Maya book much easier to do. I wrote it quicker, and I felt that, I took advantage of this template that I had. I spent 5 years helping make this film, and so I was intimately involved in the story. I was in the U.S. in 2005 talking to CIA agents and Air America people and other people connected to the conflict, academics and whistleblowers. And so I had a good overview and an intimate personal knowledge of the characters that were active in that war. So I felt that this provided excellent background material. It was almost too good to be true to have an opportunity to pick up a story like this a second time and create a very different piece of work from the original film, a piece of fiction. But of course, the fiction is anchored in the historical circumstances in this tragedy that happened in Laos. Mm. So actually, it was easier to write than the Cambodian Book of the Dead. As for the reaction from readers, readers, as far as I've had feedback, some people find it hard to read simply because it's so dark as a story. Mm. But, it's crime fiction, and crime fiction can often be very, very dark. And so I don't feel like it's particularly exceptional in that sense.
No, true. I've read some much darker stuff lately. Bits of Skewered really stuck with me. I don't know why.
Right.
Yes. Speaking of Skewered, Crime Wave Press is going from strength to strength from what I can see. You must be very proud of what has become, well, I was going to say a little home industry. It's not a little home industry. It's quite a lovely little publishing house now. You're bringing in new writers all the time. What's coming up next for Crime Wave Press?
With Crime Wave Press, yes, you're right. We've increased our output. We're signing some very interesting work. Our most recent book is by a guy called Brian Stoddard. It's called Madras Miasma. It's a classic detective tale set in 1920s Madras. So towards the end of the Indian colonial days of the British, and it's basically Sherlock Holmes in India, and it's got wonderful twists and turns. It takes on board Indian colonial policies of the British, the resistance, the nationalist resistance of the Indians against the British. So again, it's a story with a political backdrop, but it's a classic detective story in the foreground of that. We've also just published Death Sentences by Michael Zemecki, which is a story about a neo-Nazi on death row. And it's a kind of combination of Ed Bunker and Charles Bukowski. It's a man on death row who reflects upon why he got there. And it's very interesting. The structure is fantastic. Every chapter focuses on a person in the character's life, his mom, his stepdad, his political cronies, and each character has brought him a little bit closer to the desperate situation in which he finally becomes a killer and then finds himself on death row.
Mm. And how about you, Tom? Are you working on a piece at the moment?
I'm working on a third Detective Meyer novel, which is called Monsoon Ghost Image at the moment. It's set in Thailand, and because it's very early days, that's probably as much as I'd like to say about it.
Fair enough, too. But I'm very happy to hear that he'll be back. This is important.
Yes, Maya will be back, yes.
Well, Tom, if people want to know more about The Man with the Golden Mind, or you, or Crime Wave Press, or anything like that, is there somewhere they can have a look?
Well, Crime Wave Press have a website, www.crimewavepress.com. I have a blog, www.tomvata.com. And we've got new exciting titles coming out in the next months. We're trying to increase our output to 2 books a month, although that's a heavy, heavy workload because we have to edit the books and design covers and generate publicity. So if we put out 1 a month, I'm already quite happy. And otherwise, of course, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else in the social media, so I'm actually quite easy to track down.
Well, that's good. Well, look, Tom, it's been lovely talking to you today. Enjoy the rest of your time in Europe, and please play safe when you go back to Thailand.
Absolutely, Stuart. I will keep my head out of the sling as much as I can.